Welcome to Next Level Christianity, a podcast designed to teach biblical truth, help Christians apply it to their daily lives, and gain true clarity of what it means to follow Jesus. Our churches and Christian communities are continuously being influenced by cultural and worldly views, and few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is John Alkier. Please join me for important conversations where biblical truth and life application collide. I hope these episodes help equip and motivate you to take your Christian faith to the next level. So grab your Bible and join me in the conversation. Welcome back to another episode of Next Level Christianity Podcast. I'm your host, John Alkier. I hope you are all doing well. And wherever you are, wherever you're listening tonight. Real quick, just always want to say thank you to all the regular listeners and subscribers to this show. We appreciate your support. And again, hope these episodes have been edifying. And as always, please share this with your friends, family, or coworkers and let them know about us. It's been too long since I've been on here. I was on a pretty good run there of every week putting out something. A lot of the gospel, a lot of about God's sovereign grace and salvation. It's been really good these last few episodes that we've done, but we have had a tremendous run over the last 4 or 5 weeks, actually 2 months, but God has just been very, very generous to my family and to us, and blessings in my career and my wife's little career. And with my son, with his sport baseball and some activity within colleges. And we've just been busy, and kid little guys are back in school. They've been in school 5 weeks, actually physically, even though COVID's happening. They are meeting 5 days a week from like 8 to 12, my 7 and 9 year olds. So they're actually in class with other kids, and they're 5 weeks strong. So please pray for them. No cases of COVID, no shutdowns, and we hope that continues for them, but exciting. So just a lot going on, so apologize for not being out on a regular basis on episodes, but it was time to do it, and here we are, episode 29, as we're coming at you, and we're going to talk about it. It's mainly the episode title is He's the King of Kings, and we'll get into that in a minute. But man, 2020, I sit here and think about it, has been an incredible year. The COVID scare, the actual virus, the cases, the deaths, the massive amount of job loss, the financial crisis it's had on our country and families, the lockdowns. Many lives have been devastated by financial strain of this, or even the illness itself. People's businesses, small businesses that they poured everything into, are gone. Dreams, I hate to be negative, but you just know a lot of dreams have just been obliterated through this. And the politics of it that we're seeing, massive protests, all this racial tension like we've never seen in a while. Hurricanes, my goodness, if you look out in the Southeast Ocean, they're stacking up. Another one happening now in Florida, and flooding and all that. We had one in Louisiana. We've got them stacked up in the Eastern Ocean, Southeast Ocean, and just who knows what that's going to look like, but they're stacked up. Fires raging all over the West, primarily California and Oregon. They say 3 million acres, or more than 3 million acres, have been burned. Well, I guess the good news, I mean, things can only go up from here, right? I mean, let's be real. It can only go up from here. Wow. So it's been a crazy year. Like we've never seen. But what I wanted to really look at today, and this is going to be a long podcast, I really wanted to look today is the upcoming election for presidency. It's taken all the highlights, I think. It's on everybody's minds. And I think it just was one of those things that was on my heart, and I posted something on Facebook, and I'm like, you know what? I just want to share a little bit of good news, hopefully some hope and peace to the Christian warriors out there, the listeners who are believers. If you're not, or you're not sure where you are with God and you're listening to this, I hope this speaks to your heart. I hope God draws you in this episode. But I have some things to say here. And, you know, we're about 50 days, I think. I don't know. I didn't do my math. But, 50 days out from voting for the next president. Will Donald Trump be president for another four? Or will Joe Biden and Miss Harris be the next president of the United States? There is always a lot of emotion and passion. You may be one of them around these elections. But I believe there is more around this because of what this country has witnessed the past 8 months. This is a different election than I think other elections. I think it would be fair to say with everything going on, a lot of politics being thrown in the mix here. But either way, to be honest, it's a battle between two old guys. I mean, really? Let's be honest. 70s. I think Biden's probably approaching 80. I don't know. I didn't look him up. But I know Trump's in his 70s. These are old guys who, who's going to be the best suited old guy to move the nation forward? You know, who is that? What does that look like for you? And as believers, we have our guiding principles that should be helping us make those right decisions during the election time. But in the end, I ask the question tonight, and this is the purpose of this whole episode, is it really us who is going to decide on this election? Or any elections from the past? The answer is no. And I say that based on scripture. The answer is no. I think all of us would agree, if you're Christ followers and you read your scriptures and you're in the Bible, would all agree that Christ, Jesus Christ, is on the throne. He is currently on the throne in the right hand of the Father, and he has been given all authority of heaven and earth. Wouldn't you agree? How do we know this? Or for those who don't know or not sure, go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And it says, Jesus says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority has been given to me. This was before his descension to heaven, leaving the disciples and earth for the last time. He wouldn't come back again until his second coming, which is down the road. There he spoke of the Great Commission. You know, he commanded us to go preach the gospel or go baptize baptize the nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bottom line is God has exalted him above all at that point. So I with that, I want to, let's just stay in the Bible for a few, and I just want to confirm tonight what I'm saying about his sovereign control over these outcomes, and these outcomes like this coming election. This coming election is going to be decided by Christ on the throne and the Father. So let's look at Isaiah 9:6. We're just going to bounce around. So if you have your Bible, open up your Bible app on your phone, open up. Or if you're walking, driving in your car, or just not around your Bible, write these down. Or if you can't, they're going to be up on my social media site. So I'll reference all these Bible verses and come back to them. But Isaiah 9:6, and this is referring to Jesus, this is the prophet Isaiah. He says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. There you go. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and furthermore. So there you go. That was a prophecy from Isaiah of Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, who's now on the throne, who was going to come, and it was going to be exalted. He is the Father. He is God incarnated, and he is going to establish himself as ruler over everything. Government rests on his shoulders. He's going to rule over his kingdom. He's going to establish and uphold justice and righteousness. Let's go to Psalm 110:1. And by the way, Psalm 110:1 is the most quoted, referenced Old Testament scripture in the New Testament. And what does it say? The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So from the Psalm 110:1, we're going to see Paul reference the same ideology, which is where we are today. Christ is on the throne, has all authority over heaven and earth. He is seated at the right hand, and he is there until the enemies, all the enemies are a footstool under his feet. So listen to Paul, and you're going to find this in 1 Corinthians 15:25 and on. And read, it reads, for he must reign, who? Jesus. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. So death will be abolished. He's going to raise the just and unjust, and the just are going to be with him, and the unjust are going to go to the lake of fire. He has put all things in subjection under his feet, but when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is expected who puts all things in subjection to him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. Bottom line, God has given him, Jesus, all authority. Not just partial, not just a little of his own, and man or creature or creation is going to have choices over the Creator. No. God and Jesus are one. And they're in unison, and we hear this. If you read through the four Gospels, you see the intimate connection, very intimate connection of them being one together throughout the Gospels. Again, God's complete sovereignty is prevalent. And I just want you guys to see, and there's a lot more verses, but we're just talking about some that I thought were important to lay out here tonight. But here's some more just to finish this. That as you look at these elections and you look at rulers that are brought up around the world or over our nation and the government officials, know those are appointed by God. Isaiah 45:7, this is one of my favorites. Listen to what the prophet says about the Lord. I am the Lord and there is no other, the one forming the light and creating darkness. Key word, causing well-being, causes well-being, and creating calamity. So is it possible that the calamity we're seeing in our country, we're seeing the riots and the protests and all this stuff going on, he's creating that? Yes, he is. If you believe the God of the Bible and the scriptures as you read them, yes, he is. Because here's what he says, I am the Lord who does all these. Causes the well-being, and he causes the well-being of his people, and he creates calamity, and he does all things. Isaiah 45:7. Jump with me to Daniel 2, verse 20 through 22. Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he, God, who changes the times and the epochs. And I don't know if I said that wrong, but that's what it says. Epochs is what I would go with. I didn't look into that, but that is what it says in my NASB Bible. And what that means, because I did look it up, is a period of time in history or a person's life, one marked by notable events or particular characteristics. That's what that means. he removes, as we move on in the verse, he removes kings and he establishes kings. Well, who are we talking about? President of the United States. Government. Rulers. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. It's Daniel 2, 20 through 22. Now move with me to Acts chapter 4. This is awesome, and this is more proof of his sovereign nature and how he uses rulers and people for his purposes. Acts 4, verses 27 through 29. The disciples are praying after being released here by the chief priests and elders. And they were told to they were let go. Do not teach about Christ. Do not share about this man. And they said, basically, can't do it. I hear you. Not gonna agree with you. We're gonna go do this, despite what punishment comes. And they come back with their fellow companions, and they share their experiences with them, and then they started praying. And that's where we pick up in 27 and 29. They're praying. And one verse I'm going to grab out of here is the point I want to make. In there, it says, in their prayer, he says, "For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed," who the Father anointed, "they've gathered against your holy servant Jesus, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel," listen to this, "to do whatever your hand and purpose predestined to occur." Now, it's very clear here, God has written history according to his purpose, according to his predestined goal and purpose, for his glorious plans and purposes. It's to glorify himself. They mention all the various people in these verses and groups who had their hand in the finishing events and final sacrifice on the cross by Christ himself. All people, rulers, influencers in those times who were used by God to execute his purpose. And ultimately, as terrible as it was, as Christ was the sacrificial lamb of the sins of the people, as terrible as his journey was, and as we read about and learn about, and horrible, it was to glorify God, and it was to bring salvation to the people who call on his name and who come to faith in him. So he uses who he's going to use, and it's throughout the scriptures. There are many more examples throughout the Old Testament and New Testament that demonstrate the facts and the evidence that God and Christ are in full control of the world's events. So when it comes to the results of November, Christ will use the means of his created people to establish the king, the president, and vice president he chooses to serve the people of the United States. And you're going to say, "Well, man, John, does that mean I don't have to vote?" Or you might ask, "Why should I vote then?" Right? Of course not. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you have the freedom and obligation as a citizen of the United States to have your choice and to whom you want to run the country or your local government positions. But the point I'm making is don't get down, or don't let this all let you lose hope regardless of who's elected. Know that God is choosing which king based on his purpose and plan, which ultimately will bring him glory. That's all I'm saying. Even if it might make things harder on yourself or our state or our country or whatever the case may be, we have to trust God has a bigger plan and that he's ultimately in control. And I know that's hard for us. And you're hearing that going, man, I shouldn't even vote then. It's like salvation, God's sovereign in salvation. We've talked about a lot on the episodes, and you're probably one that might be saying, well, then why do we share the gospel if God already knows who he's gonna be saved? It's because we don't know who's going to be saved. That's the answer. God knows, we don't know. And so for us on the gospel, on the sharing the gospel, we've been commanded to do so. Because as we share that out on our social media platforms and to our coworkers or our family members, we don't know what God's work of salvation is happening in the hearts of those people that we share it to. It's not up to us to know. It's God who is in control of salvation, in control of everything. We share the gospel, and it may not open the heart. It may not have God enable that person to the Son. It may not happen. And that's just the way it is. The four soils tells us this. You're going to throw the seeds out there, and there's four ways it's going to be taken, and there's only one that's going to take root. He's already given us the plan. Doesn't mean we don't throw the seeds out there, even though the birds are going to eat them off the pavement before they even take root. They're just going to be gone before they have a chance. It is what it is. Doesn't mean we don't spread our seeds and share the gospel, because we don't know who God has chosen. We don't know who God has chosen as president. So we're to vote based on our principles, based on who's going to best represent our Christian worldview as Christians. That's how we vote. And I will just say this as believers, and I hate to use the coffee mug verse because I think it is, but it is a true verse and it should give us hope. And we need to hold true. It's Romans 8:28. And it says, God causes all things for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purposes. He causes all things, and that means good or bad, easy or difficult, we agree or disagree, we understand or we don't understand. His purpose and his plan will not be thwarted. It will not be overturned. And the good news is he causes all things for the good of those who love him. And we got to know that. And we got to have confidence and be mature during these next few months that he knows who's best to run our country and what's ahead, not us. And he will make that choice through the means of his people, his believers, his future believers, and even the non-believer voters. But I want to share more insight as we finish up this episode into the vote of a Christian. I have just read a ton of debate on social media. If you're on social media, you have too. Between Christians and non-Christians, definitely, you know, just in general, Democrat versus Republican. But among the Christians, and, you know, I struggle with this word Christians because I just don't always know who really is, and I hate to say it that way, but people who claim they are Christian, go to church, who absolutely hate Donald Trump, they are so anti that they will literally throw real fundamental principles out of the window to vote for Biden and Harris. Just because they can't stand Trump for whatever, because of the way he looks or whatever. I'm going to be honest, the modern church has been very silent on many fronts of this. And so, again, you may be listening to this and you're listening to me and you just hate Trump. You just hate him. Things he says, his arrogance, he's arrogant. I agree. His past, you know, some of the dirt on him. I just want to remind you, when you guys start talking about the dirt of a human being or your question if he's a Christian or non-Christian, I question the same things, okay? We talk about his past. Remember our past. Remember your past before you said yes to Christ, who called you and overwhelmingly drew you to the Son, and you gave your life to him and you gave everything you had to him and you're living for him. Remember where you were and where your life was before that. So I want us to be very careful when we talk about past as Christians, because we all have them. And I'm as guilty as anyone, too, on this. His arrogance, hey, I have arrogance once in a while. So we're all in the same boat. Is he a Christian? Is Trump a Christian or not? I don't know. I don't know. He speaks that way. He shares a lot about faith, which I like. Is it real? Is it not? I don't know. I don't know. I don't truly know. You may hate his hair. You may hate the wealthiness of him, his wealth, his riches, his wife. You may hate her. His goofy smiles during photo ops, whatever the case may be. But if you're a Christian, just hear me on this. If you are a Christian, by definition, to vote Democrat this November is to vote for the death of unborn children. And let me just give it to you. 3,000 souls per day, 1 million souls per year. And know that 1/4 of all pregnancies are ending in abortion. And my wife and I talk about this a lot, and I mean this just with as much humility as I can, and as much, it's the whole thing's horrific to me. This whole abortion thing is terrible. But when's the last time, as you looked at kids, and you looked around, when is the last time you're seeing children with defects, true defects? When are you seeing kids that chromosomes aren't lining up and they just don't seem right? You're seeing a lot of those? I don't see a lot of them. I don't. And it's sad. Because I think we all know, I think what's happened is we don't want to bear that burden on our lives. The difficulty of raising somebody who isn't totally healthy. And we can just kind of remove that burden before it happens. Because science or evidence is happening in the womb of a lot of these things, and people are making those decisions, and it's sad. And I'm just saying, it's an observation. And no matter how you look at this, it's murder. I don't care what debate you want to get into, it's murder, and it's murder to our God in heaven. And he looks down with wrath on all of this, trust me. And you can't be a Christian. Let me just be clear. You cannot be a Christian by definition and support anyone who supports and funds the murder of God's children. You just aren't. It just doesn't line up. It doesn't make sense. And I can go into many other differences and reasons voting Democrat does not align with Christian principles. And I'm not saying Donald Trump and Pence are perfect and have all the right policies and are all Christian aligned. But I will tell you, if anything alone in this whole election, as a believer in Christ, sways your decision, this abortion one should be it. This should be enough. The VP running, Mrs. Harris, is a huge supporter of pro-choice for women. And just as we know, Biden and her have major pro-choice organizations backing them. Tons of money backing them. So just do your research, do your homework. And you're going to say, but John, you said God will choose the next administration, the next president, the next king. Yes, he will. But your vote matters. And let me tell you, your vote and your justification for your vote is also of your heart. And God knows what's on your heart and who you vote for and your stance. And if you're voting in these for these two, if you're voting Democrat, you're voting for the support and murder of children. Children that are created by God. Children that could be cared for by many adoption agencies. Church ministries that are out preaching the gospel in front of these mills and have money being donated to take care of these families, take care of these kids, take care of the financial burdens they may be experiencing and why they want to kill their babies. They're there to help. There's tons of options for them and to raise them and take care of them. Again, folks, this is non-negotiable, and you must follow the best principles to your vote that best align with your Christian worldview. And for many reasons, this being the biggest, by far, Democrat is not the vote of a Christ follower. I'm sorry. It's just not, especially in this election. There's more to it, but we won't get into that today. This is a bigger one in itself. Okay? So I want you to pray about that and think about that. And so that pretty much concludes tonight's show. I hope this helps ease your minds and put some things in perspective on our role to have a choice, the ability to vote for who's best to lead our nation and will best to lead our state and all the different ways of voting. But no, regardless of your of the decision and who ends up winning, God chooses to raise kings and he takes them down. And his decision is always for his glorious purposes, people. You know, and if you're in the middle or not sure or you just hate Trump and think Biden and Harris would be better, I would urge you to pray about your reasons and seek understanding on what best, truly best, supports the Christian principles and freedoms you want supported and protected over our land. And I want to end with this last verse, if I may, from 1 Timothy 6:13 through 16. This was the charge to Timothy from Paul to go and preach the gospel, the word of God. And we too as Christians have been commanded to go and share the gospel with others. And we know from Romans 10:17, for we know faith comes only from hearing. So here's what it says. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, the good confession Jesus told Pilate that he is the Messiah. And you can read about that in John chapter 18, verse 33 on. As we move on 1 Timothy 16, or 1 Timothy 6, that you keep the commandment without stain and reproach. What he means by keep the commandment without stain and reproach is to preach the word until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is blessed and only sovereign. Here we are, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone possess immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Well, thanks again for joining this discussion tonight. If you want to discuss more of this with me, share some of your thoughts, hit me up on our social media pages. We're on Facebook and we are on Instagram, and that can be found at Next Level Equip, or you can email me at nextlevelequip@gmail.com. Would love to hear your thoughts on the subject or any of our episodes, so please share with me. And hey, share this out with somebody. Share this out with a friend. Share this out with someone who needs to hear it and who would enjoy it. Okay, hope you enjoyed it. That's it for tonight. Have a great rest of your week. And until next time, God bless.